Welcome to Witnessing for Jesus again. Today we're going to talk about salvation is free. Number one. Number two, what happens if we sin after we're saved? Number three, how do we confront our own sins and get healed from them? Number four, signs and consequences of sin and salvation, and how to repent. Start with, salvation is free. There's nothing you can do to get salvation other than ask Jesus to forgive you for your sins, confess, believe that He rose from the dead and died for you and shed His blood for you, and confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Okay, so we're going to talk about Romans 10:8 now. But what saith the word? What saith it? The word is nigh unto thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. We're all supposed to have faith in our heart. Now, Romans 10:9 helps clarify some of this. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is over all, is rich and unto all that call unto Him. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. So we're going to continue talking about this. What are you going to do if you find you've got problems in your life? What are the consequences? What are other things that you need to look upon once you've been a Christian for a while, and then you may have some problems? You may have maybe a car accident makes you very upset with people. Maybe have other kinds of problems. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's very easy to get saved, and it's very easy sometimes to get upset after we're saved, wondering why other people don't do everything we think they should. But there's no reason that you ever have to doubt that you're saved. And Acts 2:21 says, and it shall come to pass, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no question about that. Mark 16:15 talks about this some more too. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. I recommend that everyone get baptized. There are some people who don't think it matters, but right here it does mention baptism, and Jesus said this Himself. Getting baptized in Jesus' name is one of the most important things you could do in your life. That's an outward confession that you're believing in Him. Mark 16:17 says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Mark 16:18, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. If they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken, Mark 16:19 says, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Mark 16:20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs. The word with signs following. Let's continue on these verses showing how we are saved and how we can repent if we have to. Acts 15:11 says, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they. Acts 15:12 says, then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles, wonders God had wrought among them and by them. I want to read Acts 15:11 again. But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they. Grace is a gift, and God has given us this gift of letting Jesus Christ die on the cross for us and shed his blood. And that is a gift to us that we all need to accept. Acts 2:36 says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ." Acts 2:37 says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" This is a very important verse, because Peter was asked, "What shall he do?" by people who wanted to get saved. Acts 2:38 says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Once you do this, see, you get a gift. The gift of the Holy Ghost is guidance and leading and helps and other kinds of things. Shows a lot in your life when you have these gifts. Acts 2:39 says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." It's very important to get baptized. It's very important to get saved. It's very important to confess the name of Jesus Christ. Our salvation is, as I said before, a free gift of grace. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." I want to read that again. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Romans 5:2 says, "By whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope and the glory of God." Have you ever heard someone say you have access to something? That means you can go and perhaps access on the web, access to some judge, something like that. Well, right here in Romans 5:2 is talking about how we have access. "By whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope and the glory of God." We can go to God and we can know that if we're keeping right with him, that we can ask him for something, and that's the access we have. We can ask for his help and his guidance. Romans 5:3 says, "Not only so, but we glory in tribulations, as knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." Romans 5:5, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Romans 5:7, "For scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet preadventure for a good man some would even dare to die." Romans 5:8, "But God commandeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 5:9, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." In other words, if we're saved, we don't have to worry about God being upset with us or something like that, because our sin's forgiven. And I'm going to read that verse again, Romans 5:9, "Much more then, now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And then there's an if here, Romans 5:10, "For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only so, but also joy in the Lord through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom ye have now received the atonement." "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Romans 10:13. What happens if you're saved and you forget, or you do something wrong and you sin after you're saved? What are you going to do then? Well, you need to realize that you're not perfect, and God never expected you to be. 1 John 1:8 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is in us." 1 John 1:9, I'm going to read that again. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now that's telling us that if we do make a mistake or we need to get saved or we need to get some revival in our lives, that we can confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, and He'll forgive us. 2 Timothy 1:7 is also important to realize, to read. It's about having fear. It says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." And the spirit of fear is dread. You may know what I mean by dread. You sit down, you worry about a bill coming, you worry about an appointment you have, worry about your car, what you're going to do about it. This is dread. But we don't get that from God. That comes from us or the devil. Usually from our own hearts that dread comes. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." So when you feel that dread, it's not God telling you to do something necessarily. It's just something that you're facing that's very difficult to change. And it may also be that the devil is putting something on you. 1 John 2:1 says, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that if ye sin, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." 1 John 2:2, "And He is a propitiation for our sins, and not only ours also, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know Him if we keep His commandments. He saith, I know Him and keepeth His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. It's very important that we do the right things, because if we try to say we know Him and we're not keeping His commandments, then you're a liar. I'm going to read that again. 1 John 2:4, "He that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar. Truth is not Him." If you say you're a Christian, you're not keeping Christian rules and Christian commandments, then that makes you a liar, it says. "But whosoever keepeth His word in Him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked." It means walk like Jesus did. Do the things Jesus did. Remember that He's out there to help you. 1 John 2:7 says, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is past and the light is now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is darkness until now." The new commandment they're talking about here is you need to love people, you need to live in proper agreement with people in your life and make sure you're not messing up your life. "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now." "He that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him." 1 John 2:11, King James Version, "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because of the darkness has blinded his eyes." It's very important to realize that sometimes we'll do something wrong. At this point, if you start hating your brother, you need to go and get forgiven by him and ask God to forgive you. And He will do that. You just have to do that. Ask God to forgive you. Remember that when you start worrying about being saved, you're saved, because there's plenty of verses. We'll go over these some more next time. You have a good day, and thank you for tuning in to Witnessing for Jesus.